Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Elena Delozier, a research fellow specializing in the Gulf region at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Elena, who was Sultan Qaboos? Obviously, he was an interesting figure. He overthrew his own father. He modernized Oman. He made his subjects happy. Oman is not as energy wealthy as its neighbors. So how did he do all of this?
So his history is really, really quite extraordinary. He's one of the most well-respected leaders in the Gulf region. And you're right that when Sultan Qaboos came to power, he really modernized the country. So under his father's rule, there was, you know, one school and one medical clinic, and no music was not allowed, the radios weren't allowed. And so his father saw modernization as a threat to his rule. And so he sent his son, Qaboos, off to Sandhurst in the UK, and he served in the military forces. And when he came home, his father detained him. And so people snuck things into him, and eventually with UK support, he exacted the coup that you mentioned. And at that point in time, he started all the opposite things. He started to build schools, hospitals, a bureaucratic government, all the sort of trappings of modern society. Literacy became something that was a goal in the country. He also went around the country to sort of build his domestic legitimacy and actually met, you know, most of the communities in Oman, which was such a big deal for them. And he took some time to end the Darfur War, but then he sort of decided maybe war wasn't the way that Oman wanted to go in the future. And so he really had this extraordinary impact on the country that the Omanis really respect. And it's why he had such a personal power in Oman, because he just completely transformed the country.
He also seemed to have a certain talent for walking between the raindrops. He was a mediator for regional issues. He brought the country to maintain, to this very day, good relations with both the U.S. and Iran, for example. How did he do that?
You know, neutrality is not easy. And so to, as you said, walking between the raindrops, I think that's a great way to put it. Qaboos was so well-liked in Oman that it's hard for any regional countries to sort of undo that if they wanted to. And so, you know, eventually that just was the policy of Oman. And as much as it was irritating to some of the regional powers, were of course like Oman to take their side. that's just the way it was. And Oman played a real role, and I think will probably continue to play a role as a facilitator. Oftentimes people say mediator, but Oman was not a mediator. They were a facilitator. They would say, you both can, you know, two adversaries can come and we will provide the room for you to sit in to talk things through. But they themselves were not the mediator, but so much as the folks that just gave the space and the secrecy oftentimes for parties to meet and work things out.
That's a fine but very important distinction. You are listening to Elena Delozier, a research fellow specializing in the Gulf region at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Will Sultan Qaboos be a hard act to follow?
Oh, gosh, yes. The person who's following him is Haytham, so Sultan Haytham. He is a cousin of Sultan Qaboos. They share a grandfather. And so I think it's an important distinction that Haytham is a cousin of Qaboos. So generationally in the family, he's in the same, you know, level, but he's a generation younger in terms of age. And so he does represent sort of a new face of Oman and have quite some challenges ahead for him.
What kind of a person is he? What do we know about him? I believe before he was chosen on Saturday, he was the culture minister. It does not sound like a very senior position. What kind of experience does he have?
He also ran the Vision 2040 plan for Oman. So this is the huge economic plan in Oman to transform the economy. And so he was given the economic portfolio as well. What was interesting about Haytham is the Sultan never showed his cards. So all of the potential successors had various roles that you could maybe think would lead to them being the next Sultan, but you weren't quite sure. And Haytham was one of those. He was involved in a bit of a corruption scandal over something called the Blue City. It was a big mega project that ended up going bust that he had been involved in. And folks who like him you know, so folks who give him credit say that he had been led astray by some businessmen and, you know, that he's been quite successful in other business ventures and all of that. But there was a bit of a concern that maybe he wouldn't be able to become Sultan because of this dust up.
Is there anything that you as an observer can expect to see from him?
First things first, he's going to have to deal with the economy, and because he's been involved in the Vision 2040, he knows that, and he is in tune with that. He's close with the community of bureaucrats that deal with the economic and financial issues because of his role in 2040, and so I suspect that that will be one of the first things that he deals with. That's the primary domestic challenge in Oman. Oman suffers from significant economic problems. And as we all know, economic problems can lead to social problems. So this is priority one. And oil reserves in Oman are smaller than they are in other places, and Oman is more dependent on them than in other places. Salary costs are very high in the country, so cost cutting is difficult. And there's wealthy merchant families that control certain sectors, and sort of untangling that might be a little bit difficult. So the domestic challenge going forward is economic reform, and I suspect he's going to turn to that. On the foreign policy side, his challenge will be maintaining Oman's policy of, you know, neutrality or a balancing act, being the facilitator, all those sorts of pieces and parts he'll look to maintain. And his first speech as Sultan, he made clear he wants to maintain those things. So he's going to have to very quickly develop his relationships with other leaders. The tricky part in Oman is because the Sultan Qaboos did not groom a successor. You know, in other countries, for example, Saudi Arabia, we know Mohammed bin Salman is next, and we've known that for years before he actually becomes king. And so there's been a grooming process of sorts. There is not that in Oman. And so Sultan Haitham will have to very kind of quickly, and he knows these people. He's represented the Sultan in foreign settings. He knows the cast of characters, but it's just that he's going to have to sort of develop those relationships as Sultan. And I suspect that he will try to keep Oman's foreign policy and facilitator sort of tradition alive.
Elena Delozier, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.